This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is iFanboy Special Edition, The Death of Superman. Hello, welcome to iFanboy Special Edition, The Death of Superman. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I've formed the Animation Brain Trust, Paul Montgomery.
Hello, I'm here.
And Ryan Haupt.
I'm also here.
And we are talking about The Death of Superman. Paul, what is this film? Give us the stats.
This is the 32nd installment in the DC Universe Animated Original Movies line, and the 11th film in the DC Animated Movie Universe.
Wow.
So that's this cast that's, well, they've done some shuffling. Because if I remember correctly, the DC Animated Movie Universe with this Justice League started out with Alan Tudyk as Superman?
I believe that's correct.
And now it's Jerry O'Connell.
Who quickly took over, I believe.
Yeah.
There's going to be spoilers. If you haven't seen it yet, please pause the show and come back. And in addition to being the 32nd of these films and the 11th in this line, this is the first remake. So now it's truly a Hollywood production.
We've wrapped around, and this is a remake of the first DC Universe animated original movie, Doomsday, which was a truncated version of the Doomsday storyline.
It came out in 2007, so we've been doing this for 11 years.
Uh-huh.
That's always the painful math. As Paul said, that movie, Superman Doomsday, was a truncated version. I rewatched it in anticipation of this. I don't think I've watched it since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to have a fresh comparison in my head before I watched The Death of Superman. So I watched it the day before I watched The Death of Superman.
Do you remember who played Superman in that?
Yes, it's Adam Baldwin.
That's right. Okay, yeah.
In a long line of really uninspired voices for Superman.
Yeah.
He's right in there. It's not a great movie. And what's interesting is that since it's the truncated version, you get the death and the rebirth. The death happens 30 minutes into that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have another hour to go. Whereas here, you know, you've got the death is the full however many minutes this is.
I think in this one, it's almost 30 minutes by the time Doomsday even gets there. Like, yeah. there's a lot of preamble.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second, but real quickly on Superman Doomsday. There are things that are good about it.
I actually, it has some ideas.
I really liked everything up to the death. You know, it felt very Bruce Timm-like. It Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the costume designs are better, but quickly falls apart as soon as the death happens. And then that is the awful cheekbones that they were experimenting with
over
and over again.
Yeah.
Which makes Superman look like he was 55 years old. It's okay. It's not great.
Is Lex in that one?
Lex is in that. James Marsters from Buffy the Vampire Slayer is a good Lex. He's a creepy, white-suited Lex.
Yeah, does he have, like, the room where he, like, gets off on, like, beating up a robot Superman or something? Or, like, Superman beating him up?
The thing is, he's in that film, the whole reign of Superman, the return of Superman, is all... It's not. There's no Superboy, there's no cyborg Superman. It's just a clone of Superman that Lex has made.
Right.
And so Lex will beat up those clones in that room.
I just remember thinking that was kind of an interesting idea that, like, Lex, like, it's kind of insinuated, but, like, Lex kind of gets off on beating up Superman in this fantasy world with, like, a Superman robot, but also maybe kind of likes getting beat up by Superman, too. I don't know.
And the only other points I'll give it is that Superman does indeed return with a mullet. So.
In the black suit.
In the black suit.
The black cheekbones.
Black suited mullet. Yeah, with the cheekbones. But other than that, it's pretty forgettable. I remember enjoying it when I first watched it, but now that we've got the context of 11 years of these films, it's a fairly forgettable film. Anyway, interesting about this one is I didn't do any research on it, so I didn't know who the creative people were behind it, and they don't tell you until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Jake Castorina, and Sam Liu, who's done a lot of these films, and surprisingly written by Peter Tomasi, who is a longtime comics writer I was very surprised to see. And as Paul said...
Oh, okay, cool.
The regulars are back since this movie features the Justice League very heavily. The only people who are new, I believe, is Rebecca Romijn playing Lois, who is also the wife of Jerry O'Connell, so you have that dynamic going for Superman and Lois.
Right.
And Rainn Wilson as Lex Luthor. And then you've got some new Justice Leaguers who we'll talk about in a second. But mostly it's the same cast we've had for the last 11 films of these in-continuity movies.
Otherwise, like big names like Rosario Dawson is back as Wonder Woman. I think she's played Wonder Woman more often in these than not. Like, I think it started out with Michelle Monaghan, and then it's quickly switched over to Rosario.
Yes, you're right. That did happen, yes. Right. She's better. She's better. Although now that you're ingrained with Gal Gadot's accented Wonder Woman, you're just like, hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm just going to start off by saying I thought this was fucking terrific. I loved this movie. I could not love it more, unless they changed the Superman suit.
Mm.
That's my only knock on it.
Ryan?
I did not.
I'm in the middle.
All right. Well, what did you not like about it, Ryan?
Well, so first of all, I watched this when it actually came out while you were on this thing called Vacation. I don't know what one of those is, but it sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. And so I've had a little bit of time to gestate on this, and I felt that this was just as forgettable as their original attempt at it. And
wow, interesting. Yeah. What ways? Well, you should note that this is, it's somewhat fairly close to the original Superman storyline, which the first one wasn't.
I like that aspect of it. I think this is
in the most relevant way is that before Doomsday gets to Metropolis and Superman, he takes out the Justice League, which was a big part of the storyline in the comics. Of course, back then it was the lame Dan Jurgens era Justice League with Booster Gold and Blue Beetle and Bloodwind and Maxima and people like that.
Yeah, there was some Blood character because it was the 90s.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just this didn't do a whole lot for me. I'm more excited. I am still looking forward to the next film just because I liked all the little ways that they dropped in hints to the reign of the Superman.
Did you watch all the way through the credits? Because there was scenes all the way through the very end of the credits throughout the credits.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Okay.
So you just thought it was boring or what?
Yeah, kind of.
Was it because you'd already seen this story done before?
Maybe. Yeah, just for whatever reason, it didn't really grab me. There were scenes, like, I've seen people even sharing around the scene where they're in the Justice League headquarters. It's not the Watchtower. I think it's the Hall of Justice.
Yes.
And they're having, like, a little team meeting, and it's clearly supposed to be a yuck, yuck, laugh a minute. And I'm just like, this is so stilted. And
the timing is really bad on that. I did note that as well.
It definitely doesn't feel like these people were ever in the same room recording, which I know is just a reality of doing a movie like this. I mean, maybe Jerry O'Connell and Rebecca were in the
room. No, they weren't, according to the featurette I watched.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just, the pacing was awkward and the jokes never quite landed. It was interesting to have a less sure of himself Superman up until towards the very end. I thought the stuff with Ma and Pa Kent was kind of unnecessary. I don't know. It's just I enjoyed Rainn Wilson as Lex, but it's sort of an weird interpretation of the character. I am looking forward to the next one, but this one didn't really do a whole lot.
So would you put this film below the Suicide Squad movie?
Which one? The Hell to Pay?
The first one.
Oh, the first one? I don't even remember. I would put it below Hell to Pay. I thought Hell to Pay was more fun than this one.
Interesting. Paul?
That's a tricky one, because Hell to Pay was kind of that was an interesting script. There was some really inventive stuff going on, so it felt really fresh. Whereas, like, I think part of what me and Ryan are feeling is, like, there was a previous animated version of this. There's, of course, the comic. There's the bits of it that got into Batman v Superman, whatever, which is a terrible version of this story. But
yep.
I think this is, like, a really ambitious movie for them. But I definitely felt the constraints of the budget. There are scenes that I just wish looked better. There's timing stuff that, like Ryan was talking about, with, like, especially that Hall of Justice scene with, like, the Flash doing his impression of Batman. I was like, this should really hit, but for some reason the timing is just off and the animation is not where it should be. Now there's stuff like Wonder Woman versus Doomsday, mm-hmm. and then a lot of the stuff with Superman versus Doomsday towards the end, as particularly the bit where they, like, go out of atmosphere, like they go over the clouds into outer space for a bit, mm-hmm. and it's really visually interesting. And they were using the animation like A-Team, whereas there's also stuff like when the sub goes down to find Doomsday, like whatever this thing is that just landed underwater, looks terrible. Like, it just looks really bad. It's some of their worst animation. So it felt like a really mixed bag to me. But overall, I think it exceeded my expectations for this, just because I was kind of unenthused about it going in, like, okay, Doomsday again. But they did find some interesting angles, like the stuff with Clark and Lois. I think, like, this is the most, I don't know if it always succeeds, but the stuff about their relationship, and also the stuff about alluding to Superman and Wonder Woman's previous relationship, mm-hmm. was pretty interesting and made it feel more robust than these movies usually are. And it also helped that it had a bit longer of a runtime than usual.
Yeah, I thought the emotional stuff was the strength. To me, everything leading up to when Doomsday arrived made the movie terrific, because it was almost like a really great short Superman film before that, where mm-hmm. It's been a while since I felt really happy watching Superman portrayed somewhere, because I felt like sure. all the elements were there. Him and Lois were great together. The newsroom stuff was good. I actually really like Jerry O'Connell as Superman here. I think he's grown into the role.
Yes.
So by the time you realize, oh, right, Doomsday is coming, I was starting to get nervous, because I was so happy living in this world.
Right.
And even though I know what's going to happen, it's still, you don't want to see this world destroyed like it is. And look, no one's more sick of Doomsday than I am. I think they've really taken away all of the mystique by using him over and over and over and over again. But I was really interested to see this story portrayed, I don't want to say correctly, but in a much better way than it had been before. Even the novelization, which I owned, of the Death of Superman, which they put out in the 90s, I think cut out all the Justice League as well. I wanted to see that full arc of Doomsday, because the reason why, when you read it originally, it was like 93 or whatever it was when I was in high school, was because he plowed through everyone else. And so then it felt almost like a video game. You're building to the boss of Superman. But in the
right.
first film, he just shows up, they have a fist fight, and they both die. Here, it really built to it. And the fight was really brutal. I thought they really handled it really well. I think maybe some of the downsides to the animation you saw was because I think a lot of it, the budget went into the fight, which I think obviously needed.
No, like there are definitely, you can see the dollars on the screen when they get to that particular bit. And there's also some like just inventive stuff with the way they use the different Justice League characters, mm-hmm. and Batman and stuff like that, like different sequences. Like there's a bit where I'm trying to remember if like a boat or a car is being thrown.
Oh, throw a boat at somebody. Yeah.
And like Batman, like goes down like a core, and like, you know, they show the scale of their powers. Like, I thought it was really cool that they, like Wonder Woman was like the last one standing until Superman. Like, you know, Superman is going to come in. Like, if you didn't know how this story ended, we all obviously know how it ends. And it's like right there in the title. Like, it's cool that Wonder Woman gets, you know, some great moments.
And even then, the fight when he subdues her and just pounds her into the ground, I was wincing watching it. I thought it was really powerful. You know, these are drawings on my TV of fictional superheroes, but I felt a sense of dread and peril for them.
But like when they break her hairband, like her hairband breaks, and then like that the sword cool. breaks, like yeah. I was like, they're like, you know, they're really going for it, and like she's using the shield and stuff, and like she's just hammering it into his face, and he's just completely unfazed. I love the it's a silly thing, but like I love the bits where there's an impact that's so hard it shatters all the glass in the buildings around him. And I think the score is really good too. There's a really good like moments of triumph, moments of tragedy. The gravitas of the score really worked for me. So I think that was cool. The biggest highlight for me, I would say, is that, and I mentioned this online, Bibbo's in there, and like he's not, like he survives the adaptation fully intact. He just shows up and is Bibbo, and like they don't modernize him. They don't, you know, like contextualize him. He's just like, this is Superman's pal Bibbo, and he loves Superman. And they go to his restaurant, and they eat on a barrel, and you know he's got the picture with Superman. That stuff I loved, because you mentioned the novelization. I read, I believe it's Louise Simonson did the junior novelization, so I was a little bit younger, so I read that. And I just remember staring at all the, there were great character portraits in the front. Mm-hmm. I just love that dramatis personae. And like, I wasn't fully familiar with all of the characters at that point.
Sure.
So I was like, look at all these guys. And like, it had the different, like the cyborg Superman and like in Superboy and stuff. I'm like, oh, look at these guys. And so like, that brought me back to that level of excitement from when this was such a huge event, like nationwide, when the comic came out and the novels came out.
I love the build up to Doomsday, but I also think once Doomsday arrives, it really takes off from an action standpoint. I mean, the scene where Martian Manhunter gets knocked into the gas station, it blows up and he's on fire was really, really hard to watch, because, you know, obviously knowing he's afraid of fire and he's burning and he's screaming, and it was like, Jesus. I mean, I thought it had the appropriate level of gravitas and drama to the fight. One day maybe Hawkman will get a line in these movies.
Yeah.
I kept hoping he would say something.
It starts getting like uncomfortable, because like, oh, they didn't give him a voice, did they? So like, he's just kind of cannon fodder. But then like Flash grabs his mace.
That was awesome.
Uses it. Like, so there's like good Justice League like interaction kind of stuff.
Yeah. Man, I love this movie.
See, that just made me wonder, why doesn't the Flash just always have Hawkman's mace? Why even have Hawkman when you have Flash?
Well, that's the answer to every question is that. Why does anyone else need it if Flash is around?
It's true.
I liked Lex a lot. I loved the little nod to the 90s where he's wearing the disguise with
the wig and the hair,
and the beard.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a weird sort of creepy Lex, but not in like a over the top way. He's, you know, Rainn Wilson has that sort of edge to him, and I thought I liked his Lex a lot.
I liked his Lex too. I think maybe I just felt that there are some of these where I was like, some of these movies where I'm into the sort of out of the box kind of experimental casting that they do. And then other times I just kind of want it to be a little bit more classic. And so I was kind of like, I wish this was Clancy Brown or, you know, and like,
well, it would always be better if it was Clancy Brown.
Yeah. But I like Lex's role in this, where he goes in the battle suit, and it's got the giant Lex face. Like,
he thinks he has his hero moment. He thinks this is,
he's got it yet. And he's like, and I have always been the savior of Metropolis. And then like when Superman saves him, it's a great moment the way it's portrayed. But then like there's this beat where Lex is like, wait a minute. No. And like, he just screams so like humiliated and angry. Like he would rather have died than Superman save him.
I think there's a lot to do with Peter Tomasi. He's not one of their regular stable of writers. So it doesn't really fall into that familiar pattern. I think a lot of the outside of the box characterization stuff and the fun little moments, and you attribute that to him, to someone who is bringing new ideas to these films, even if they are mostly nods. It's still, I was excited to see who wrote it, because I felt very fresh. They've used a lot of the same guys for a lot of these incontinuity ones, and they start to sort of feel very much the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I was excited to see that, which unfortunately, from watching the featurette, the regular guys are back for the next one.
For the second part of this?
The second part, Reign of Superman.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Like, I wish that Peter Tomasi could write the second part of his story. That's
yeah. We'll get to talking about that at the end. But I mean, I thought this was super fun, and it's a great. I thought it was a great Superman movie. I really did think it was a fun. Cat Grant is fun. I thought her relationship with Lois was nice. I liked Pa and Ma Kent being there. You know, being
The moment when they come to the funeral and like they're not allowed in because it's celebrities and you know, but they know how to handle it really. But that's I thought a nice little moment. Like there are like emotionally resonant moments in this movie that I feel like most of these features like never even aspire to.
Yes, that's what I felt about it as well.
So I mean, and like. While acknowledging that, I think there are moments when it definitely misses the mark, and stuff like the comedic beats are sort of where it doesn't work for me.
I did really love that they opened the talk about the budget. That was my favorite part of that meeting, talking about their budget shortfall.
Oh, yeah.
The Justice League's budget shortfall. I liked that. Justice League bureaucracy is my favorite bureaucracy. So they also, we mentioned, they teased in all of the four replacement Superman throughout the film. So we meet Hank Henshaw up in space. He's an astronaut whose ship gets destroyed by the incoming Doomsday ship asteroid. We meet Steel, who is voiced by the guy doing Black Lightning on TV,
Cress Williams.
Yes, who's great. And then
he's always great, Cress Williams.
I'm looking forward to Steel. We see briefly the clone of Superman in Lex's lab, who will be Superboy. How do we tease? Oh, the Eradicator was Superman's tutor in the ship where he shows Lois.
Oh, right. Yeah. And then like we see him flying towards the camera. And
yeah. So then throughout the credits, you see them coming out. So we see the clone has left the tube and he grabs a leather jacket. We see John Henry Irons making his steel suit. We see the Eradicator flying towards the camera. We see Cyborg Superman somewhere. I don't remember where.
I thought Cyborg Superman was the one flying towards the camera.
We see, yes. I don't know. Yes, was it? Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Eradicator was somewhere
else. We see the Eradicator over the
fortress. He creates the Fortress of Solitude.
Right.
Which is strange.
That is weird. One casting bit that I am excited about for the next one. So Hank Henshaw, and he gets some stuff in here, is Patrick Fabian from Better Call Saul.
I like that.
He's an awesome actor, and I'm looking forward to him playing a really over-the-top, crazy Superman clone character. I hope that Superboy's first... Now, it's good that he picked up the leather jacket on his way out. His next stop must be to go get his ears pierced.
Do you want me to break hearts?
Because you saw the design for the next one.
I saw the featurette.
Oh.
There's good and there's bad.
Okay.
I didn't see an ear piercing. Doesn't mean there's not one.
He's got like a black like jumpsuit or like leotard kind of thing with red piping on it.
He does have round sunglasses, though.
Yes, okay.
Which is, I think, the most important design element.
What's his hair like?
It's not quite as 90s floppy. His whole thing for them is that he's sort of like the reality star superhero. Like, that's his inspiration is, you know, he's a Kardashian.
Oh.
So he's, you know, taking selfies all the time and that kind of thing. Using it to prop up his brand. I don't know. We haven't seen it yet. But otherwise, I was kind of pleasantly surprised he wasn't that far off the mark. I was worried we'd get some sort of straight-up Superboy kind of thing.
Like Young Justice.
Yeah, but he's wearing a little leather jacket and he's got round sunglasses, so it's pretty close.
Okay.
The other unfortunate thing is it's not slated to come out until 2019.
Right.
So this is our last film for the year, which is strange because we're still in summer. We still have two more seasons to go. I was hoping we'd get it like around December, but I guess not.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's going to be a fun story. They didn't show anything about Superman in the featurette, so I don't know anything about him. But my hope, my fingers crossed hope, is that he uses this opportunity to don a new costume, a perhaps more traditional, you know, like his rebirth will bring him to a more traditional Superman outfit.
Back in the mix.
There's that moment where my heart sank, where like the first you see of Superman in this movie is his arm coming into frame and you see that stupid sleeve that goes on his hand. And it's like, oh, right, they're using those costumes.
That's a real weird dark blue, too.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping this is the opportunity to be like, let's start over as a brighter, happier Superman.
He's also quippy in the first scene.
I'm okay with it. I've always been happy kind of with joking Superman.
he was a little bit, I don't know. He was like, and like talking about like dropping a dude, and looks like, I don't know. Like Superman's a little more polite than that.
But this is Intergang, Paul.
I know it's Intergang, but yeah.
They have apocalyptic technology.
It looked like Doomsday's rock came out of a boom tube. I don't know if they're.
It did kind of look like that. One of the things I've liked about Doomsday, and I'm saying this hoping it's true, is that they've never really explained where he came from. At least as anywhere I've ever read in the comics.
I feel like they have, but it's been retconned several different times.
Nothing I've ever read. I always liked that he just sort of appeared.
Oh no, there's stuff. I remember, I don't know why, but reading
his Wikipedia
article, and like he's like a Kryptonian super soldier, and
it also helps like when I've avoided most Doomsday stories.
Okay, yeah, but like if you want that, that's out there.
I don't.
So just avoid it.
I like it better. He's, you know, it's kind of like the Expanse. You know, it's like some civilization somewhere out there fired this weapon at us, and we don't ever know why.
Right. It's like Battlestar Galactica before you get to the end. Like,
God damn it, now I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry, Paul, and it's ruined for me.
Oh,
there
is.
Well, there was a follow-up called Superman. I remember as a kid, so I also read that Roger Stern novel, Connor.
Yeah.
And then there was a follow-up called Superman Doomsday Hunter Prey, and Superman got this amazingly 90s mother box armor to have a rematch with Doomsday, and it was great. I loved it.
So, Ryan, you haven't said much. Is there anything you liked about it?
Yeah, I mean, you guys are actually, you know, you were hitting the highlights for me, and so I was kind of just letting the conversation roll, but your fervent, like, you know, the fervent liking of this movie has made me wonder if I need to rewatch it. Maybe I was just in a mood or something.
That happens.
I remember getting interrupted several times, not in a bad way, but like Julie would walk through and see Bibbo on screen and she'd be like, who the hell is that? Like, because as a character, he doesn't look like he fits, but he's delightful. He's Bibbo Babowski, and I have to stop and explain to her, and then she rolls her eyes, and then I'm like, well, come on. And then I liked the sequence with Hank Henshaw. I know I've mentioned this on the show before, but since you guys did the Planetary book, I did go back and reread all of Planetary. And so having a Fantastic Four pastiche in the DC universe is also fun. Kind of riffing on that. Yeah, I think that even in the comics, I'm just much more into the reign of the Superman than I am death of. So I'm just more looking forward to that than I was looking forward to this movie. And however I felt about this movie, I'm really excited for the next one.
Yeah, because I don't know what to expect, you know, from the next one. Like, they could do weird things. This is their opportunity to, I don't know.
This is technically new, because they didn't do the second part of the story in the Superman Doomsday. They just had him fight a clone. So we've never seen the Steel and Superboy and Eradicator and Cyborg Superman emerge and what that's going to be like. And it's very much, they said, a very much of a Lois story. She's basically the main character. I liked her a lot, so I'm looking forward to that. That's actually going to feel, I think, the thing you're feeling, Paul, where you feel like you've been here before. Maybe you'll get a new feeling now in February when it comes out.
Yeah, and I think there are a lot of moments of that here. So I think I liked it more than I disliked it, but I wouldn't consider this part, you know, like perfect or even my favorite of these. But I really do want to give them credit for trying some things that they haven't before.
Mm-hmm.
And going for storylines that are deeper than what they usually typically do. There's a lot of like filling in the blanks that I think we usually have to do with these, like some of the character stuff. And they go for just the more like iconic and archetypical things. And here, you know, I'm not saying it's like this nuanced novel of a movie, but I think it's much more ambitious. And that's the number one word that I come up with for this movie.
Well, you got about 10 extra minutes, and I think that allows you to have scenes, a lot more scenes with Lois and Clark together.
Yeah, like it breathes, and they have that, like the bit where he's there when the helicopter's on the roof, and there's some like nice quieter moments where they share a look, and that bit where like they realize, okay, he's got to go back down there and fight him again. His job's not over. He's the last one. Like, the Justice League is just down.
Yeah.
And he's got to go back there. And if he does, he's probably going to die. And there are very meaningful looks between he and Lois. And it's just like, man, shit. Like, he's got to go back. And, like, we know how this has to go. But, like, why does it have to go this way? And so I appreciated moments like that.
Well, and in the comics, they had been a couple for quite a while, and she'd known his secret for quite a while at that point. And so the heartache, while, you know, it's still terrible to lose somebody you love in a traumatic way, here it's almost like they were just at the beginning of what was going to be this great, amazing relationship, and then it all gets taken away. And I actually think that's more heartbreaking than the way it was done in the comics.
I agree. She finally found out who he really was, and then it's all
just in time to lose him.
Right.
And I liked how they handled that moment where he reveals himself to her. And it's just, I was like, how are they going to do it? And like, so he takes the glasses off, and you can fill in the blanks if you want, like say that he like vibrates at a certain frequency or whatever, and that's what disguises his identity. But like, just to see it through her eyes, like it goes back on her, and like, you see the sudden shift, you know, and she's like, oh my God, like, you know, how, like this all makes sense now. And then she's like, she talks about the like ethics of it. She's like, you've written stories about yourself. And he's like, only a couple.
I just like the comic book magic of the glasses, you know.
Yeah,
it's like you either buy into that or you don't. If you can't buy into it, then you shouldn't be reading these comics. And it's like, he takes the glasses off, he looks at her, she looks at him, he says look again, and she looks, and then she's like, oh my God. And I love that sort of leap of comic book logic, and it just, you have to have that joy in your heart, I think.
And I always, like, when people bring that up, like, oh, it's so stupid. Like, she's supposed to be this amazing journalist, and she doesn't notice when, you know, with the glasses and stuff, and that's all it takes. And or like, whatever. Or the people who say, like, oh, he's too powerful. It's boring. I was like, I always just feel sorry for those people, because, like, it's such a reductive way of looking at it.
To me, this shows why Superman's so great. It's the self-sacrifice. It's the fact everyone looks up to him. And so they rely on him. Maybe too much. It's just everything I love about Superman is in this film, which is, I think, partially why I loved it so much. I even think the extra time allowed us to have the scene with the kid on the bridge, which I think you could have easily cut out, but allowed for a deeper meaning of, you know, he got his time with the Justice League, he got his time with Lois, he got his time with his parents, and then he gets, this is sort of the time with the public during the fight.
You know what, you're making me like this more. I should probably go back and watch it a second time just to, like, without my how are they going to do this and this and this goggles on, like just casual relax and watch this. And I think less of the nitpicks will bother me. Cause I do agree. This is my favorite depiction of Superman dramatically in a long time.
If they just had the other suit on, it might've been perfect.
Exactly. There was a lot of Jesus stuff in this that I thought got a little bit heavy handed towards the end. I've always been a bigger fan of the Superman is more the Moses archetype than the Jesus archetype. But like in the intergang scene, they're talking about the big man upstairs. And then at the very, you know, towards the very end of the movie, when his disciples literally go to the tomb and the cave is open and the boulder has been pushed away. And I'm just like, oh, come on. Like,
was that in the comics?
That might be directly pulled from the comics.
Because in the fight, there was a couple of direct pulls from panels.
Yeah, well, I mean, they always do the shot with the cape. Waving.
No, I mean, like, there's a scene where he's laying on the ground with his one arm up and she's kneeling at his side. But I thought the big man upstairs was Darkseid.
Oh, really?
Because they're wearing apocalyptic armor and Cameron.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan was talking about Darkseid.
Yeah, but they're looking out for
Superman. Take
your vitamins,
pay attention to the man upstairs, Darkseid.
Yeah, Cameron Manheim gets all of his weapons from Apocalypse.
Well, yeah, I know that. That's why he had a mother box and stuff. But I don't know.
Does that make Superman the devil?
I mean, if your interpretation is correct, which I don't grant that it is, I think they're talking about looking out for Superman.
I don't agree, but that's fine. Art allows for disagreement.
All right.
Yeah. No one is right. No one is wrong, except for Paul and I are right.
That's right.
Question.
And I'm only kind of right.
No, I mean about the Darkseid reference. Continue.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Is Bibbo's restaurant good?
It has great chicken wings.
But it's a seafood place.
Yeah, but it has great chicken wings.
It's really about the atmosphere. It's about the experience. It's,
you go for the Superman stories. You go for some cheap beer.
It's like medieval times, but it's like,
you think it has a good Yelp rating?
It better.
I did miss his cauliflower ears.
Yeah,
you know,
that's gonna be hard. That's gonna be annoying to animate.
You know, how far do you want to take it?
Well, like, you know, you get the sense that he was like a boxer. You know, he had the cauliflower ears. His nose was sort of broken. You got the sense that he,
right?
You know, he could take care of himself. And here was fine. I missed that sort of very particular way of portraying his past through his face.
Because in the Reign Up of Superman, he also, you know, puts on a Superman t-shirt from that he sold at the bar, and also tries to clean up his neighborhood much less effectively than Steel does. And I always, like, that's one of the reasons I love Bibbo, is that, like, yeah, Superman's my guy, and if Superman's gone, I'm going to
put on a t-shirt and do my best in the next film.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
Yeah, I hope so. And I mean, Bibbo had, like, a lot, like, they went back to Bibbo at the end. Like, I was, like, where he, like, and he, like, he says his Hail Mary, which I don't know why they chose the Hail Mary, but, like, he says Hail Mary out by the sea.
Superman and, as Jesus.
Well, no, but I mean, like, why didn't they do, like, an Our Father? That seems more classic, like, what, like, and then he says Hail Mary, and then he says, why did you have to take Superman, God? Like, just, like, that stuff, like, it's I don't know, it's... Catholic school kid in me is like, I think Hail Mary is a weird choice.
The guy who voiced Bibbo, Charles Halford, was also Chaz in the Constantine TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on The Walking Dead and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's been in all the comic stuff. Captain Cormac in Star Wars The Old Republic video game.
Got a good agent, if that's his jam.
I liked it.
I mean, how can you, like, out and out, like, hate a movie that has Bibbo and Ace the Bat Hound in it? Like, they're both in it. Like, it's like, what more do you need in a movie?
I always appreciate an Ace the Bat Hound. That's true. And I didn't hate this. I just, when Connor came out, you know, swinging for the fences saying he loved it, I didn't.
Back on your heels.
We've been doing these for 11 years. You should know that this is all about misrepresenting your opinions and being hyperbolic about it. There is no middle of the spectrum for you. You either love it or you hate it. And when I say just Ryan.
There's only thumbs up and only thumbs down. I get no shades of gray. I hear you.
This is the one, and for me, this is the one place where I am centrist. I am not centrist anywhere else except right here on these shows.
You're not. So, we take turns.
We take turns.
I like the Death of Superman. You can go to ifanboy.com. There'll be a post for the show. You can tell us what you thought about it. And as I said, Reign of the Superman is the next one, which it says 2019. They usually come out about February. I don't think there's a release date yet for it, which is unfortunate. And then we've got a bunch after that. Batman Hush is coming, which nobody wants.
People apparently want it. People were excited, or, like, at least the headlines led me to believe that. Finally, a Hush.
People love the story.
Do you not, Connor?
I don't really care for it. But before that, we got Justice League versus the Fatal Five. I think that's an original one.
Oh, yeah.
And then Wonder Woman Bloodlines, whatever that is. They're still trucking. You know, this made me want to go back and rewatch the showcase. I missed that. I am so bummed they don't do those anymore.
They're great.
Those little shorts with the characters they would never give features to. Man, good stuff.
Now that they have their own, like, you know, streaming network, or are going to, they're going to wish that they had done more of those to fill some time slots or something. Fill some slots.
And I was actually looking for Doomsday on, I think, Netflix, because they have some of these, and it wasn't on there. So it'll be nice coming at the end of the year when I can just go on there and watch any of these I want.
So you're actually looking forward to the DC streaming service?
Oh yeah, He's already signed up.
Like, he told me that. I was like,
I bought a year.
We don't know when it's starting. Like, yeah. I love that you bought a year and you don't even know when it's coming out.
I'm ready.
I love that they're doing that. They're also like, hey, sign up for a year. When's it going to start? We don't know. Maybe soon.
I got like 3 months free when I did the year.
Are you sure this wasn't just like a dude in a trench coat that came up to you in San Diego?
I gave him all my information.
Well, listen, Paul, if Connor signs up, just three friends.
Yeah, exactly. I need to talk to you guys after the show.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Exactly.
The first streaming pyramid scheme.
This is the best glorious God-free adaptation to real life ever.
So go to ifanboy.com. You can talk about the Death of Superman. We'll be back at the Animation Brain Trust for Reign of the Superman sometime in 2019. Of course, we will be back for our regular iFanboy podcast, including the Pick of the Week show, or which Josh and I, and sometimes Ryan, and sometimes Paul, and sometimes other people talk about the week's comics. I don't even know when the next special edition show is. I know we're definitely not doing Venom.
The Sony Spider-Man universe doesn't count.
We just don't care. No one cares in the offices. My file with all the movies is somewhere. Oh, here it is. The next one would be, I guess it would be Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse?
Ooh, I'm December? Really excited about
that. Oh, yeah, that looks good.
In December some point? So
I'll raise my hand for that one.
So we'll be back with our special edition shows, and until then, I'm Connor.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Ryan. What about Aquaman? When's Aquaman coming?
Right after Spider-Man.
Well, there's the Lego Aquaman. That's already.
The candles blew and then disappeared.